Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to the At the Movies series. My name is Vince, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at film and faith and how the two collide. It's a four-week series trying to reimagine or reframe some spiritual truths with the stories of the scripture. And in the same vein, or the same spirit of things, it's the why did Jesus talk in parables? Fascinating. The question was asked to him. We see it recorded in Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." That's not a game of keep away. It's in understanding you guys know what's going on, and I'm trying to help these people figure out what's going on, so I'm going to tell them in memorable stories. But would Jesus necessarily use the same stories if he showed up today? Some of these are very rural or agricultural, which doesn't always have context for maybe a big city or maybe where you're living. It doesn't quite fit. And so we use the At the Movies to kind of reframe, to look at some spiritual ideas, some cultural things that are going on, and address them with the scripture. Now, this first week through, we're taking a look at an old 2008 Pixar movie called WALL-E. Now, the premise behind it is that the earth is all gone to hell in a handbasket and filled with garbage, and it's toxic. And so the powers that be decide we're going to scoop up humanity, put them on a spaceship, the spaceship called the Axiom, which is ironic because it's an axiom is something that doesn't, it's an accepted truth that doesn't need to be proven. And on it goes on this space quest for 5 years while little cleanup robots are supposed to go around cleaning up the world. Well, after a little while, the ship gets a secret message saying this is all, it's not working. It's going to be easiest if you just stay in space forever. And so for 700 years, they roam around. But every once in a while, a probe is sent back. And this one time, a probe comes back. The probe's name is Eva. And she runs into one of the little cleanup droids named WALL-E. And so there's kind of like a little robotic romance going on. But the premise of this, in particular, the kind of the stuff that we're looking at, is what's going on inside the Axiom. Now, for 700 years, it's been floating through space, being controlled by an AI. The original premise was that it's just going to be 5 years. And so a 3-hour tour is different than a 5-year tour, which is very different than a 700-year tour. And as the Axiom is floating around, the AI becomes more and more in control. Finally, people are just floating around on lazy boy chairs. They're like super obese. They're like lives are out of control, and they're just watching little screens. It's funny, people lounging around, in terrible health, watching little screens on lazy boys. Because this was made in 2008, and the iPhone, as an example, came out in the States in June of 2007. So it has some funny future forward ideas in it. So in and about this AI, as the AI autopilot, affectionately referred to through the movie as Auto, as he becomes more and more powerful, it's how to placate the captain and just keep people peaceful while it deters them from ever going back to Earth. And so as the movie moves forward, Eva, she ends up finding life on Earth, goes back to the Axiom, and tries to convince them that the Earth, things are okay again. But the AI keeps resisting and pushing and blocking the efforts to go back. Where does AI sit in a cultural context for us, and what does the scripture have to say about some of these fascinating ideas? Now, I want to make sure I don't come off as some sort of Amish Luddite anti-technology, because I really enjoy a variety of tech. AI has been amazing in advancing cancer research and identifying medical things, and AI protects your banking and your personal information while another AI tries to sabotage it. And AI is a fantastic tool in all sorts of sectors. There's real-time video translation where the lips of the person, the video translation also adjust the mouth so it comes out looking like it's from the language that it's being translated into. AI is an amazing tool. AI used for the visually impaired to read micro expressions in a person's face to kind of let the listener know the emotional state of the person speaking with them. AI has so many fantastic things, but it has to be kept on track of. You have to see how time has changed so quickly and AI's place. And so how this interworks with life, society, the scripture. You see, back in my day, I just turned 55 on Friday, so that's pretty exciting. But when someone got lost back in my day, they put your picture on a carton of milk. And so that involved getting a picture of you, contacting the milk company, putting your picture on the milk being shipped, someone buying the milk, and hopefully looking at the picture while they had their morning cereal. This was the method for finding people. So not hyper efficient. Well, now with Amber Alerts and things that are, we love that part of technology where it's like, we like the accelerated pace for things like efficiency, safety. Back in my day, they used to send you in the mail a big, thick book filled with every person in your city's phone number and address, so you could get a hold of anybody. Well, we don't do it like that anymore, whether it's for the trees or safety and security. Things have changed. And so some of these changes, you go, AI is fantastic. But there's other changes in the mix that don't seem so great. And this is where the AI in WALL-E, the autopilot named Otto, where he started off on one track of taking people on a 5-year voyage and making sure they were safe, to a track of permanently keep them away because the earth is toxic now. And so the AI was given some wrong information and led everybody astray for several hundred years. Fascinating story from the scripture, the Tower of Babel. Now, as I go through this, it's found in Genesis 11, verses 3 and 4, and it says these things. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." The directions from God were to multiply and have dominion over the earth. So staying in one spot like that was not ideal. There's an extra set of history books, the Jewish Midrash and other books that capture oral tradition from the day. So there, it's not Bible, it's just some interesting sideways texts from the day, and it has some other things to say about the events of Babel. It says these things in oral history. There's like 2,500-year-old oral history that's been written down. That the plans for Babel included an idol at the top with a sword pointed upwards in like a declaration of like a big thumbs up to God. It said that the people of the day, it records in the Midrash, that someone could fall from the tower, no one cares, we'll just get another one. But if a brick fell, the people wept. The morals and things were backwards. They had developed this new technology with bricks and tar, and on a plane, they were trying to build something to reach heaven. There's some other scholars that deduce perhaps in the time, and those who commentate on the Midrash, that perhaps it was an effort to prevent another flood event, to build something higher than the flood, a flood could possibly go. So we're talking like mountainous high, not just like a little ziggurat of the day, not like the Tower of Pisa, but a monstrosity that took days to climb to the top. So without having seen it, I can't tell you, but the intent behind it, according to these extra literatures, and as we find in the scripture, God wasn't happy with it. It was a big thumbs up to him and his directives. Where does technology lie in that? Advances in any field, there's got to be in and guards around it. There has to be an understanding of what the nature of something is. And it's caused great concern. Just 6 weeks ago, I'm not Catholic, but the Pope was speaking specifically on AI and humanity, something that triggered off even the Pope. Pope Leo XIV says this in the Magnifica Humanitas just 6 weeks ago in May. Humanity, created by God in all of its grandeur, is today facing a pivotal choice, either to construct a new Tower of Babel or to build the city in which God and humanity dwell together. You see, there has to be a difference between the likeness of God, God-likeness, versus God-likeness. God's likeness versus God-likeness. You see, being created in the image of God is very different than something that can think faster, run quicker, doesn't require sleep. Being created in the immutable image of God, as you and I are, versus something that is God-likeness. Hyper intelligence, the ability to put together information from all sorts of sources in nanoseconds and then act upon it. God-likeness versus God's likeness. And the two can never be equivocated. The two can never be put together. What if I can take super intelligence and put it inside of a super body with robotics? So if I can put an AI, and this idea has been explored repeatedly, the robot race from the series Foundation, or perhaps the Cylons of Battlestar Galactica, the Terminator, the replicants of Blade Runner, Ghost in the Shell. This idea has been tested again and again. It seems to always go poorly for mankind. I have a friend of mine, eccentric person, a little odd, but I was just with him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about his AI girlfriend. And so he has on his phone an AI lady friend who he can get support from and who speaks kindly to him and gives him all sorts of affirmation because he's having trouble finding one in the real world. And so he uses an AI girlfriend. And then I was talking with someone else about this, and it was like, can you have an AI, is there an AI, some sort of affair, some sort of emotionally adultery? These are kind of ethical questions that pop up. What if I could take AI girlfriend and put her in a body that is just as seemingly texturally real? What about that? Is that adultery? If he was married and continued on in that way? These are just interesting philosophical questions that end up coming out. Is it possible to have an affair with a smart toaster? This has been explored in movie as well. Her, with Joaquin Phoenix. Companion, subservience. There's a German film called I'm Your Man, and it has a lady researcher, and she's put into this experiment situation where she has, where the perfect man is made for her. And which sounds fascinating. Someone would say immediately, there is no perfect man, so it must be a fiction work. I don't know if you've heard this with Santa Claus, the perfect man, and the perfect woman were in a car accident, who would survive? And the answer was, of course, the perfect woman, because Santa Claus isn't real. The perfect man doesn't exist. And so it sounds like it's really pandering to women until you start thinking about who caused the car accident. I'm kidding. The perfect man companioned with her. The idea of exploring artificial intelligence in relationship. You see, humanity is made in the imago Dei, the image of God. But we're not God. AI is made in the image of man. But it is not man. It can't have those capacities in the same way as we're not God, though we're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. The nature of man is a fascinating thing. It goes through this. Isaiah 44 captures it really nicely. It says this: a man cuts down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or an oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow. He used it as fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows to it. Isaiah 44, 14, and 15. It's not that in WALL-E AI runs the ship. It's the direction that it goes. Otto in the movie says, we can't go home. And forcefully is trying to stop the captain. And the captain is saying, we have to go home. And so it's the struggle, the AI versus humanity, and which one's going to come out on top. And we see in WALL-E that humanity prevails. We can't go home. We can't unring the bell. We can't put the genie back in the bottle once it's out. The captain is saying, we have to go back. We have to go back. Now, even in something like this, would you prefer that the sermons that you hear from the church, do you prefer that they were written by an AI and cleaned up and perfect? Or would you rather it be a sloppy mess like what is happening before you today? And in a question like this is like, can you appreciate the flaws? Because I'm made in the image of God and I'm not him. Would you rather God-likeness or God's likeness? And they're vastly different. Though today is, you know, it's going to have its in and floundering, I assure you with 100% guarantee, today was not written by an AI. It's real, authentic, old school, human stuff, inspired by God's word. But what would you rather? Would you rather be pastored by an AI? Or would you rather be pastored by someone in God's likeness? God likeness or God's likeness? Things change, and I understand that. I used to buy ringtones for my phone. Now my phone has been silent for the last 10 years. I don't want to hear from it anymore. So I appreciate that things change from the beginning to the end. And I'm not sure that the church is aware of where AI is at in culture, depending on how far you are along in this field. There's some interesting quotes. Alan Perlis says this: a year spent in artificial intelligence is enough to make one believe in God. Eliezer Yudkowsky says it this way: by far, the greatest danger of artificial intelligence is that people conclude too early that they understand it. And whether you love him or hate him, Elon Musk has a fantastic quote. I'm increasingly inclined to think that there should be some regulatory oversight, maybe at the national or international level, just to make sure we don't do something very foolish. I mean, with artificial intelligence, we're summoning the demon. They look at it with such seriousness. Another author says, why are all these people making bunkers, fallout shelters? There's concern about what this will be. A former Google officer, Mo Gaudet, said, I'm not worried about AI turning against us. I'm worried about human beings using AI to turn it against us. Because the problem is always comes back to the heart of man. With 1 minute, he's cooking a fire, making some bread with a tree chopped down, and then the next minute, he's taking that same tree and carving an idol out of it. And this is what we do with the heart of man with finding something to worship. It's what is it that you're going to worship. So Otto was the AI used to preserve humanity, but eventually became a block to prevent humanity from getting back to what it should be. Interesting quote in from Deuteronomy 22:8. It says this: when you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your home. If someone falls from that roof, the principle is that if you build it, you have a responsibility for it. And the weight of that, you see a chia pet is when you take grass seed and put it on a piece of clay shaped like a hedgehog. And a porcupet is a baby porcupine, but a parapet is when I put guards around the roof of my house so that people don't fall from it, because I'm responsible for that thing that I built. And so what guards the railings around AI? You say, oh, it would just be like fringe stupid people that would take AI to such a crazy extent. Well, here you go, friends. A church founded in 2017, a religion, a registered AI religion called Way of the Future, founded by former Google and Uber engineer Anthony Lewandowski. It's a registered AI religion. Its primary mission is to promote the realization of an AI-based Godhead, supporting research to help create this entity and easing the transition to a world where AI is in charge. Registered religion with AI as the Godhead, Theta Noir. This organization and art collective treats advanced artificial general intelligence as a living system. Followers participate in multimedia rituals, digital prayers, and ceremonies while awaiting the arrival of a vast shifting code entity they refer to as Mina. Why don't we just call it Baal? We should just be straight up real with it. We'll just call it Baal. Instead of Mina, we'll just get right to the point. The Turing Church, a techno-pagan transhumanist group that explores the intersection of advanced technology, space, and spirituality, and the merging and blurring of lines between engineering, resurrection, and the divine. This wave of things is coming where folks put AI in such a high regard that it hits a divine, godlike level. So you have to be mindful about who is shepherding you. Who are you taking input from? What algorithm is teaching you? AI is actually a city recorded in the scripture in Joshua 7. It's pronounced I-E, but spelled A-I, and translated into Hebrew as a heap of ruins. Nothing to do with the sermon, just an interesting tidbit. A heap of ruins. You see, people in the church would never get wrapped into stuff like this. Well, check out this little webpage. This one is Text with Jesus. You can put an app on your phone and you can text with the Almighty. You don't need to pray. You don't need to get up in the morning and do your devotionals. You just text the Lord and he'll get back to you. And just for a change of things. Perhaps you're not interested, you're not much of a texter. I'd rather speak with the Lord. No problem. You can talk with Jesus. It's a little graphic here. You can talk with Jesus for just $1.99 a minute. You can talk with the Great One, the Lord Almighty. You can speak with him. People have fascinating things to say, and he's super informative and really kind and helpful. You want to talk to Jesus? Just $1.99 a minute. Thank you, AI. How about visiting with Jesus? You're like, forget that. I actually want to see him. No problem. There's a confessional in Lucerne, Switzerland, at one of the churches called Deus in Machina. And it is a digital representation of Jesus in a confessional so that you can speak with the Almighty and have him compassionately pray for you. It's not just about God-likeness. We're looking at God's likeness versus God-likeness. I hope I'm able to clarify that out. God's likeness versus God-likeness. This is the takeaway for today. And thank you for taking the time to listen in. You need to be ministered to by God's word. The good old-fashioned Bible, paper, even digital. Getting God's word in your heart, keeping your eyes on Jesus, and not worshiping his creation or his creation's creation. You see, the one true God wants to have communion with you. The scripture tells us in Matthew 7, the one who asks will be spoken to, the one who seeks will find, the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You just take your time and keep pressing in to Jesus. Your answers come from his word and the multitude of those who follow it. Let me take a second and pray for you. Jesus, we are grateful for these examples that you give us through your word. Lord, we desire to have communion with you, not copies of you, not copies of copies, but with you. We choose, we want community with the Almighty. Lord, help us press in. We know you're not going to leave us high and dry, but you say we ask and you're right there. You say to knock and you open the door. You say that if we look, we would find. So Lord, we look, we knock, we ask, we keep asking. Lord Jesus, speak with us even now. Lord, and we'd be grateful. Father, we just trust you have our best interests at heart. Help us know what is truly shepherding us. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.